We're holding on Zion Umud Beis, about 10 lines from the top line by the two dots. 10 lines from the top. We said in the Mishnah that another case where the sukkah is possible is the shachamasa meruba mitzilasa psula, if the sukkah has more sun than shade. And we said in the Mishnah, Rashi had mentioned that the whole purpose of the sukkah, the name of the sukkah even comes from the schach. So if you don't have a majority of it covered, if you don't have a majority of it screened with shade by the schach, then it can't really be called a sukkah. So, Tana Rabbana, we learn in a Braisa, Chamasa machmas sikuch v'loy machmas tvanos. Now what that means is, we care if you have more sun than shade only from the point of view of the schach. We don't care about the walls. In other words, even if you have a lot of sunlight comes in through the walls, we don't care about that. We learned yesterday you could even have, conceivably, the walls of a sukkah could be made out of stakes that are one next to the other, each within three tefachim of the next, and it'll be kosher, even though, of course, you're going to have a lot more space between those. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshiya Omer af machmas tefanis, Rabbi Yoshiya says that no, also you need to look at whether you have more sun than shade from the point of view of the walls. So according to him, something like that, an arrangement like that, where you have a lot of sunlight coming in through the walls, would also be possible. Amar of Yemim Bashlemi Mishmei Dabaya, my time of the Rav Yoshiya, why does Rav Yoshiya say that? So, Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says about the Poroichas, it says, V'sakosa al ha'oren es ha'poroichas, Hashem tells Moshe how to set up the Mishkan. He tells him at one point, you should bring in the Oren to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then V'sakosa, you put the Poroichas, V'sakosa al ha'oren, you make shade over the Oren as a Poroichas. Now, V'sakosa is the same as a Schach. So therefore, so what it means is Alma, so Poroichas Mechitza. The Poroichas, after all, is a Mechitza. It's hanging vertically. It's not horizontally over the Aron. It's vertically in front of the Aron, between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'kakayu Rachmana Tzchacha. And we see that the Torah calls it Tzchacha. It calls it V'sakosa. Alma Mechitza Kesrach V'enen. Therefore, says Rabbi Yoshiya, you see from that the walls also have to be like the Tzchach, insofar as that you don't have more, that you don't, given that we're saying that there's a sukkah, is only a sukkah because it has more shade than sun. So, and the Tanakh and the Chachamim are saying that applies to the schach. Then Rabbi Yoshiya says, based on this pasuk, it has to apply to the walls as well. Now, does that mean that all the other dinim of the schach would apply to the walls as well? For example, according to Rabbi Yoshiya, could you make the walls out of things that are makabel tumah or don't grow from the ground or what have you? There's a rishon called the Rav Yah who says that, as a matter of fact, according to Rabbi Yoshiya, we would have to say that all the dinim of schach apply to the walls as well. So they would have to be made out of things that grow from the ground that are not makabel tumah, etc., just like the schach. What Tosfos says over here, there's two ways of understanding. One, the Marshal understands Tosfos to be saying that even Rabbi Yoshiya is not going to go that far. He's still going to say that the walls could be made out of other materials. We just don't want there to be gaps in them such that sunlight is going to be coming in. On the other hand, Marshal understands Tosfos more like the Rav Yah, that in fact Tosfos would say that according to Rabbi Yoshiya, yes, they have to be made out of the same kind of material as the Tzach. Virabbanan, how do the Chachamim answer back to that? What do they do with that pasuk, the Sakoisa? The answer is Ahudin Nekuf Be Purta. They say what it means is when you're putting up the Parechas, you're right. It is vertical, but it's not completely vertical. You bend it over a little bit, the Mechzik Eschach, so that it resembles Eschach. So a little bit of it is hanging horizontally, and then a little bit of it is put up so that it's attached to the top of the Mishkan horizontally, and then from there it hangs down vertically. So for that horizontal part, that little bit, it can be called schach on that ground. Not to say that walls by themselves, vertical walls, would be considered schach. The halacha, of course, is like the Chachamim, which is why we learned yesterday about all the various dinim involving gaps in the walls and things like that. Rabbeinu Manoach, actually, one of the early Mefoshim, one of the early Noisekelim on the Rambam, gives a logical reason behind it. He said what the Chachamim are saying and why it is that there's no problem with gaps in the wall, but there's a problem with gaps in the schach. He says, you look at it, for example, a palace, It's very common that they have gaps in the walls because they want to have fresh air come in. So you have large windows and you have columns and you have doors and whatever, but you would never have gaps in the roof because you don't want rain to leak in. You don't want sunlight to come in where it shouldn't. Therefore, it's more logical that the schach has to be intact and the walls done. Okay. So the Gemara says, I'm going to buy it. Rebbe, Virab Yoshia, Virab Yehuda, Virab Shimon, Virab Gamliel, Obis Shammai, Virab Yezer, Vachirim, all of these Tanoim that we just listed, Kut Machirim usually means your mayor, Kulu Svir Lohu, Sukkah, Diras Keva Be'inan. All of them hold in one way or another that the Sukkah has to be a permanent dwelling. Now, it doesn't mean, Tosva says, it doesn't mean that all of them necessarily agree with each other's shittis. We could demonstrate, in fact, that not, because, for example, Beis Shammai, we said on Daf Gimel, holds that a sukkah has to be at least 7 by 7 tefachim, and Rabbi Yehuda, Rebbe, who's also on this list, held that it had to be 4 by 4 amos. And there's other examples where we can demonstrate that each one doesn't necessarily hold of all the other details that the other one does. But each of them says, in their own way, that there has to be a kvius to the sukkah. Let's go through them. Rebbe, where do we see that Rebbe holds of such a thing? The Tanya, because we learned a few days ago. Rebbe Omer kol sukkah she'en ba'aba amos al dalav amos psula. Rebbe said a sukkah has to be 4 by 4 amos, and the implication was, we said because a house has to be 4 by 4, we said therefore Rebbe held a sukkah needs to be the same thing, whereas the Chachamim, we said that a sukkah after all is only a diras arai, given that you're only staying in there a week, then it doesn't really have to have as much permanence, and it doesn't even have to be that big, even if it's only big enough for your head and most of your body and your table, then that's good enough. So we see that Rebbe holds the sukkah needs a certain kvius that the Chachamim say it doesn't. Next, Rabbi Yoshia Hodamoran. Rabbi Yoshia, we see that from what he just said, that the walls also have to be without any gaps between them, which is more like a house. Rabbi Yehuda, where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda says that? It's not in the first Mishnah. We said Sukkah she gvoila ma'ilam chof amah psula for Rabbi Yehuda machshir. We said Rabbi Yehuda is machshir a sukkah that's taller than 20 amas. Now, where do we see from that? So one of the explanations that we had on Beis Amud Aleph, why the Chachamim say it's possible below 20 amas, we said was Rava's explanation that below 20 amas, that below 20 amas, it's possible to build the sukkah as a temporary thing, but above 20 amas, necessarily you're going to have to build permanent walls because temporary walls won't last. So we could say that the Gemara is bringing from that. The problem with that is that there we actually had Abaya asking on Rava and saying, Rava, I don't accept your understanding of that because the fact is below 20 amas, you are allowed to build at Sukkas Keva. So, okay, Rava gave him an answer. So, in fact, the Bala Mor says, you see from this Gemara over here, apparently Abaya changed his mind. He argued with Rava over there, but then after Rava gave him the answer, then he agreed, and therefore he's saying now that Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah has to be Diras Keva. On the other hand, different other Rishonim talk about not necessarily, it might be that this is not Abaya saying it at all. It might be Abaya himself says that Rabbi Yehuda is in this category. The Gemara, the Stam of the Gemara, when Ravina and Ravashi arranged the Gemara, they added this proof from that Mishnah. Abaya himself might be learning it from other sources. For example, in Masechta Yuma, Rabbi Yehuda says that a sukkah during sukkahs is chayiv in a mezuzah. Later in our Masechta, we're going to have a couple of different places where we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah has to have a certain kviyus to it. For example, we're going to have something in the next Mishnah regarding a double-decker sukkah, one sukkah on top of another, where Rabbi Yehuda says that it's only kosher if the top one is able to has a sturdy floor if the schach is thick, and various other ones like that. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds of this concept that a sukkah has to have a certain permanence. So not necessarily is Abaya learning it from the Mishnah that the Gemara is quoting here at all. That might just be the stum of the Gemara editorializing and adding that. Okay. Anyway, Tosfos actually says that maybe even Abaya does learn it from there, because they say, fine, Abaya didn't agree with Rava's answer, but the fact is, it's true that when you build a sukkah higher than 20 amos, it needs to have a certain kvius there. And Abaya didn't accept that that's the reason why the Chachamim would pass a little above 20 amos, but he may well say, you see from that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that a sukkah needs a kvius. Okay, next. Reb Shimon, where do we see Reb Shimon holds a sukkah neat davakvius? The Tanya, as we learned yesterday, Beis Kilchos and Gimel Akilu Tefach. The Chachamim had said that a sukkah just has to have two complete walls, and then the third one can just be a tefach. Reb Shimon and Gimel Kilchos and the Dalat Akilu Tefach. Reb Shimon had said it had to have three complete walls and the beginning of a fourth, showing that he holds it has to have a certain kvius. It has to be more like a house than that than otherwise, and therefore you have to have three complete walls. Next, Rabbi Gamliel. Where do we see Rabbi Gamliel holds of such a concept? The Tanya. We learn in a Braisa in connection with a Mishnah in the next parak. Ha'oisa sukkase b'roish ha'gala oy b'roish ha'spina. If a person makes a sukkah on top of a wagon or on top of a ship, so on top of a wagon, Rashi explains the problem is the wagon moves, so therefore it seems like it seems more arai. It seems more of a temporary thing. A ship, Rashi says, rather, the problem is that the wind is going to, that the wind is more likely to blow it down. Tosfos brings over here, maybe we're not Gerdes Berosh HaGola, because maybe there's no problem, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, having it on a moving vehicle. The problem is only when you put it on a ship, and winds at sea are stronger than winds on land, so therefore, according to him, it would have to be strong enough to withstand sea winds, which again means that it has to have more of a Kvius. Anyway, so Rabbi Gamliel posts over Rabbi Akiva Machshir. So Rabbi Gamliel says such a sukkah is possible. Rabbi Akiva says it's kosher. So again, you see that Rabbi Gamliel holds that a sukkah has to have a certain keva there. Of course, the halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel, and the halacha is not like most of these opinions over here. There are a couple. There's a rule that the Gaonim say ein halacha keshita. When the Gemara gives a list of Tanoim who say that, and it says all of them hold such and such, usually that amounts to saying that it means the halacha is not like them at all. It means like all of them hold that way, but the Chachamim, which is the greater number of Chachamim, hold differently. And especially since we said that even among themselves, they don't necessarily agree on all the details. So each one in his own thing that he says is a das yochid that not necessarily would everybody else agree with him. Over here, that's basically the case, although there are a couple of the things over here where we say the halacha is like them. We have, we're going to have now about Beis Shammai's minimum size of a sukkah, 7x7 tefachim. We talked about on Gimel Amar Aleph that the halacha is like them. We're going to have another one as far as the shape of a sukkah in a minute. But in general, the halacha is not like most of these things. One of them being the halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel. You can make a sukkah on top of a wagon, which is how we come to have sukkah mobiles nowadays. Okay, onward. Beis Shammai. Where do we see that Beis Shammai holds of this concept? The Tanan. Because we learned, and we learned this on Gimel Amud Aleph also, Mishaya Rosh of Rub of a Sukkah with Shochana Besech Abayis. If a person was sitting with his head and most of his body in the sukkah and his table inside the house, with Shammai Postlin or with Silla Machshirin, with Shammai says it's possible, with Silla says it's kosher, and we learned before on Gimel Amud Aleph that that means that Beis Shammai is actually arguing with Beis Hillel on true details. Number one, the minimum size of a sukkah, where Beis Hillel is saying 6x6 tefachim is enough, and Beis Shammai says, no, it has to be 7x7, showing, in other words, you have to have room in there for a table, showing that it has to have a little more of a kavir, so it has to be more royal tashmish, it has to be more suitable for use with at least a piece of furniture. We said there was another machlok. This also, if it's a large sukkah and a person just doesn't bother bringing the table in, what would be the din? But we're not focusing on that machlok. We're focusing on the one about the size of the sukkah. Next, Rabbi Eliezer. Where do we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds of such a concept of that a sukkah has to have a kvius? The Tanan. We learn at the end of our perek, ha'oisa sukkosek min tzrif. If a person makes a sukkah in the shape of a tzrif. So Rashi explains that it looks kind of like a beehive. So it's roundish sort of, and the walls sort of the walls curve and form a roof. So it's shaped more like a dome. It's shaped more like a dome or something. Or the Rambam explains that it's something more like a teepee that comes to a point on top. Whatever the point is, it doesn't really have an actual roof. Or it's a smachal akosel, or if he put it next to the wall, in other words, he made it like a lean-to. He took the schach and leaned it. So one end of the poles are on the ground, and the other end is leaning against the wall. Rabbi Eliezer poisel l'fisha in lagag. Rabbi Eliezer says even if it's large enough to be the size of a sukkah, 7x7x10, it's still possible because it doesn't have a roof. V'cham machshir, and the cham say it's kosher. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that a sukkah has to have a kavius to it, and therefore it has to have a roof. So that's another one of these ones where we're going to say the halacha is like him, but not for the reason of sukkah diras keva, but rather for a different reason that we'll talk about at the end of the parak. That's the shem. And acherim, where do we see acherim addressing this? The Tanya, we learn in a braisa, acherim oimrim, sukkah hasuya keshovach psula, a sukkah that's made like a birdhouse, which is round, is posel. Lafisha in lazavius, because it has no corners. We see, for example, when it comes to the halachas of tsaras of houses, that a house that doesn't have square perpendicular walls is not, if it's round, is not subject to tsaras, because it's not really considered a bias. So in the same way, over here, Achirim say that if the sukkah is round, then you can't really consider it a bias, and therefore it's possible. So again, we see that a sukkah requires, according to them, needs a certain kriyas. Okay, so that's the whole list. And again, ein halacha kashita. For the most part, the halacha is not like these various tanaim in the individual things that they say. So now let's talk more about a round sukkah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, sukkah ha'asurich kibshan, a sukkah that's made like a furnace, which is round. So he holds that it's kosher, which means Rashi says necessarily Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Achirim, because we just said that Achirim say that it's possible. On the other hand, the Aruch Laner says maybe not necessarily. Maybe, after all, the Achirim used the expression keshovach, like a birdhouse, and Rabbi Yochanan is using the expression kekibshan. So maybe we're talking about Achirim would say if it's just barely 7x7, then it's possible it needs to be larger than that. It looks like a birdhouse rather than something that a person would live in. But if it's kekibshan, it's a larger structure. For example, the Gemara is going to say now 4x4 amos, then in fact it could be kosher as a sukkah. So Rabbi Yochanan is not necessarily disagreeing with Achirim. Okay, so if a sukkah is wound like a furnace, im yesh ve'akeifa kedei leishavach avdala b'nei adam, if the circumference of it is enough to seat 24 people, kshera, then it's kosher, ve'im lav psula, and if not, then it's possible. The Pnei Yeshua says an interesting point. Why does Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara is now going to figure out what he means in terms of Amos, but why doesn't the Gemara just say straight out, for example, the Gemara's initial assumption is going to be that 24 people take up 24 Amos when they're sitting. So why not just say straight out, a sukkah, a round sukkah, has to have a circumference of 24 Amos? And he says, because imagine, for example, you're coming to construct a round sukkah. Practically speaking, to measure out a plot of land over there that's round is going to be very difficult. It's not like you have a particular thing to put the measuring tape along. So what are you going to do? A practical way to do it would be that you're going to have 24 people sit there in a circle, and then you're going to run the measuring tape around behind them. Right now, the Gemara is assuming we're talking about behind them. So that they're all within the sukkah, and then you're going to mark out that circle on the ground and then build your sukkah that way. So it's a practical thing how you would come to measure it. Okay, so now let's figure out the mathematics of it. The Gemara says, Kiman, who is Rabbi Yochanan going like, saying that it needs to be in the circumference needs to seat 24 people? To Rebbe, the Pashtus he's holding like Rebbe. The Amah Kol Sukkah Shein Ba'Arba Amos Al Arba Amos Psula, who says that a sukkah has to be at least 4x4 Amos. So therefore, if he held like the Shammai that it only needs to be 7x7, then you wouldn't need a 7x7 Tachim. A circle that a circumference of 24 people is far larger than that. As the Gemara is now going to go calculate. So let's see, Mechdi. Let's consider it. Gabra Ba'Amsa Yosef. A person usually fits in one Amah. Therefore, 24 people equals 24 amos. And we know the rule, kol sheyesh be'akeifa shlosha tefachim yesh be'reichav tefach. The ratio of the diameter of a circle to the circumference is 3:1. The Gemara tells us in Eruvin, we actually learn it from a pasuk. Now, it's true that that's not exact. Nowadays they use the symbol pi for it, and it's an irrational number. It's approximately 3 1/7. The Rambam explains that the vote is, given that it's an irrational number anyway, no matter what number we would use, necessarily it would always have to be an approximation. So therefore, the Chachamim tell us that we can approximate it, we can round it to the nearest whole number 3, and we can use that for purposes of halacha. And we can use that according to most Rishonim, even when it comes out of Kula, as we're going to have examples of it in this sugya over here. Anyway, so given that you have a ratio of 3:1, then betresa sagi, which why do we need a circumference of 24? Shouldn't a circumference of 12 be enough? In other words, if the diameter of the circle is 4 amos, then the circumference is going to be about 12 amas. Again, it'll be a little more, but we're ignoring that fraction. So all you need is a width of four amas. So the answer is no. Hani mili bi'igula. Yeah, but you're thinking of a circle. Aval b'ribua b'yotvei. But when it comes to a square, you need more than that. Remember, a sukkah, according to Rebbe, has to be 4 by 4 amas, means a square of 4 by 4. A square of 4 by 4 is going to be larger than a circle that has a diameter of 4. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. Now, when the Gemara is going to go back over here with questions and answers, it's not that at each stage the Gemara actually thinks that it's that you're going to have a machshon over here who's asking and thinking why taka isn't it enough, and you need a tautzin to come up with an answer. The Ritva explains this whole Gemara is all one big thing where the sum of the Gemara is putting the information together, but it's the style of the Gemara to go in questions and answers in order to arrive at the fact. So it's not like at any point the Gemara actually thought sincerely that a sukkah with a circumference of 12 could be kosher, for example, according to the shita. Anyway. So the Gemara says, Mechdi, all right, let's consider. Kama meruba yoyser ala igul raviyah. The square is 1/4 larger than the circle. In other words, if you take a circle and then you draw a square around it, as the top diagram here in the Gemara, then you're going to find that the circumference of the circle is going to be about 12, because we said the diameter of it is 4 and the circumference is about 3 times that. So that's going to be around 12. The square, meanwhile, is a square 4 by 4. The perimeter of it, the measurement around the four sides of it, is going to be 16, which is 1/4 larger. 16 compared to 12. Tosfos actually discusses that not necessarily. I mean, it's true as far as a circle and a square that ratio holds. However, Tosfos points out that not necessarily is the Gemara talking in terms of the circumference. It might be talking about in terms of the area. So same idea. In other words, the area of the circle is about 3/4 of the area of the square surrounding it. But of course, it's not always, Tosfos points out, not always do you have such a ratio between the perimeter, between the measurement around the sides of something and the area of it. Not always that ratio works for squares and for circles, but not necessarily for other shapes, for example. Anyway. So, therefore, b'shitzar sagi, so if we're considering a square, you should need a perimeter of 16, 4 on each side. Why is Rabbi Yechanan telling us you need 24? And the answer is, hani mili b'igol d'nofik migoy ribua. That's true when you have a circle inside a square. But if you do that, if you draw a circle inside a square 4 by 4, the fact is you don't have a full square 4 by 4, and according to Rebbe, that's what you need. So we need the other way around. Avaribua denofik migo igula. When it's the other way around, the next diagram down, where you have a square inside a circle, then boyatfe, then you need more. In other words, you need the circle to be large enough to fit the entire square of 4 by 4. Mishum musha de kaunasa. And the reason is because, after all, those are the corners of the square stick out. With a circle, when you have a diameter of 4, then it's 4 all the way around. It's a circle. But with a square, when we say across it, when we say the width or the height of the square is 4 amas, necessarily the diagonal is going to need to be more. So now you need to fit the diagonal in as well. So now that means the circle needs to be larger in order to fit that. Okay, the Gemara says, fine, mechti. So let's consider, what's the formula for the diagonal? By the way, Tosfos goes on to, you can see in the continuation of Tosfos, the first diagram in Tosfos is illustrating the idea about the area of a square versus the area of a circle that they're talking about. The set further down in Tosfos, the diagrams over there with the circle and the triangle and the rectangle, is to illustrate the idea how we can show geometrically that a circle is 3/4 the area of the square. And Tosfos pictures over there that you make a circle, you make lines, you have a dot in the middle, then you have a line around that, etc., until the diameter, until the full size of your circle. Then you cut those lines in half and straighten them out to make the two triangles that you see in the second part of the diagram, and then you put those two triangles together to make a rectangle or a square like you see in the third one, and you measure the size of that square, and you find that that's about 25% more than the area of the circle. Okay, anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So we need a square of 4 by 4. Then we need a circle that will surround that square. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mechti, so let's consider. the formula for that, we need to know the diagonal of the square, is kol amsa b'ribua amsa u'trei chum she'balachsona. Every one amma along the side of the square corresponds to 1.4 ammas along the diagonal. Now, again, this is not exact. It's again an irrational number. It's the square root of 2. It's slightly more than 1.4. But again, for purposes of halacha, the Gemara is rounding off. So that means if we have a square of 4 ammas, and we need to figure out the diagonal of it. So the diagonal, 4 times 1.4 is going to be 5.6. So the diagonal of the square is going to be 5.6. Now we need a circle to surround that. The circumference of the circle, again, is 3 times the diameter in Gemara terminology. 5.6 times 3 equals 16.8. So b'shiv sanachi chum shasagya. It should be enough, 17 minus 1/5. In other words, 16.8. So why is Rabbi Yochanan telling us that you need a circumference of 24? And the answer is, the Gemara says, Lloyd Doc. You can answer that Rabbi Yochanan is not being so precise. Okay, the question is, Amer Damrin and Lloyd Doc Purta. Okay, you can say he's being a little imprecise. If he had said it has to be a diameter of 17 or 18 amas, fine, I could buy that. Truva mi aminin, but to go all the way from 16.8 all the way to 24, what's the svara in that? So far we have a question. Where is Rabbi Yochanan getting his figure of 24 from? So Amale Makshisha Breda Rav Chista L'Ravashi. So Makshisha, the son of Rav Chista, says to Ravashi. Tosfos discusses in a couple of places, the Gemara mentions in some places, two sons of Rav Chista named Mar Yanuka and Mar Kshisha. Tosfos discusses that it may be that Yanuka means the young one, Kshisha means the old one. Does it mean Mar Yanuka was the younger one and Mar Kshisha was the older one? Or is it the other way around? Mar Yanuka is actually the older one who was born when Rav Chista was younger. And Mar Kshisha is the younger one who was born when his father, Rav Chista, was older. Anyway, so he says to Rav Ashi, Mi Sabra Gavra Ba'amsa Yosef, you're thinking... All this time, we're working on the premise that a person, when they're sitting, takes up a full amma. Maybe not. Tlosa gabri b'tarti amsa yasvi. Maybe the cheshbon is that three people, actually, we're talking about standing together, because they're standing over here, and then we're going to put the measuring tape around them. So when they're standing, three people can stand in 2 ammas. In other words, each one takes up only 4 tefachim. So now, let's recalculate. So kama havalahu. So okay, if we recalculate that way, then Rabbi Yochanan's 24 people don't take up 24 amas; they take up shitza. It takes up 16 amas, 2/3 of 24. Well, the problem is anan shiv sanach nachi chum shabainin. Didn't we just say that you have to have 16.8? So the Gemara says, okay, now we can say loy dok. Now we can say that Rabbi Yochanan is rounding to 16 instead of 16.8. The problem with that is we can say that he's not medayak when it's a chumra. For example, if he had told us that the circumference of the sukkah has to be 17 or 18, then fine, we could buy that and we could say he's being a little bit more machmir to be on the safe side. How do you say that he's not being medayak when it's going to result in a kula? You're going to end up with a sukkah that's a little too small, which won't be able to fit a square of 4x4 amos in it. And according to Rebbe, you have to have four by four amos, otherwise the sukkah is possible. So you can't do that. So omelet of Asi, the Rav Ashi, la'olam gavra ba'amsa yosi. As a matter of fact, you can go back to the original assumption that each person takes up 1 amma. V'Rabbi Yochanan mokim gavri loikachoshi. However, what we have to say is Rabbi Yochanan is not including the space that the people themselves are taking up. In other words, all this time we were assuming that the 24 people are standing or sitting in a circle, and then the person goes around with the measuring tape or with the chalk or whatever behind them and draws his circle. Now we're going to say the other way around. What they're doing is they're sitting on the outside of a circle. So now what he does is he goes within the circle and draws the line all around and draws the line within the circle, within where they're sitting. So now we have to refigure then. In that case, what we're talking about, since we're saying that a person takes up an amma space in width, we're also assuming that a person takes up an amma space outward from the sticking out from where the sukkah is, meaning, in other words, in effect, we're talking about a circle of 8 amos diameter. Not all this time we were thinking we're talking about a circle of 6 amos diameter, or 5.6. Now we're saying that, no, we're actually talking about a circle of, about 8 amos diameter. Subtract from that the 2 amos, 1 on each side where the people are actually sitting. You're left with 6. And there you go. Kama, now 6 times 3 for the circumference of the circle. Kama habilahu, how much do you end up with now? Tam nisrei. You end up with 18. So now the question is, b'shiv sanachi chumsha savya, wouldn't it be enough 16.8? Now we can answer, hainu d'loy dok, or l'chumra d'loy dok. Now we can answer that Rabbi Yochanan was rounding off and going l'chumra. Really, technically, it would be good enough with 16.8, but he's rounding up to 18. Now, why is he not rounding up to 17? The Ritva points out Rabbi Yochanan could have said that it's enough, according to that, 23 people, and it would still work. And it would come out to 17. Fine, but then you would have the diameter of the sukkah wouldn't be a whole number. It would be a fractional number of amos. Rabbi Yochanan, according to what we're saying now, wanted to give us whole figures. So 6 diameter and 18 circumference, rather than 5.66 whatever diameter and 17 circumference. But in fact, according to that, it would come out kosher even if it was only 16.8. An interesting point, actually. There's a Rishon named Rabbi Avraham Rab Chia Hanasi, who wrote he wrote on various areas of Torah, including on mathematics. He has a sefer on mathematics. He lived a generation or two before the Rambam. Anyway, he points out, all this time we've been using the round figures that the Gemara is using, 3 for pi and 1.4 1.4 for the diagonal of a square, which Tosfos also, the second Tosfos here on the Amud, points out that we can demonstrate geometrically that 1.4 is not exact either, and you have the diagram in Tosfos over there. If you start out with a square 10 by 10, and then within it you draw a square as a diamond, like you have there in Tosfos, where you make a diagonal of each of the 4 squares, you're going to end up, the inner square has an area of 50 amos, and if it's 50, then the sides of it can't be exactly 7, because 7 times 7 is only 49. So you see, therefore, that the 1.4 is not exact. And again, mathematically, it isn't. It's the square root of 2, which is about 1.414, a little bit larger. Anyway, Rabbi Avraham ben Abchia Hanasi points out, listen, if you take the actual mathematical figures rather than the ones that the Gemara has been approximating with over here, then you're going to have a sukkah with a diameter of so you're gonna have as follows: a square 4 by 4 amos is gonna have a diagonal not of 5.6 but 5.656, etc. Again, it's an irrational number. Multiply that by the actual value of pi, which is 3.14, etc., rather than 3, you actually come out to 17.77, meaning, in other words, you come out to very close to 18 amos. So therefore, that could be a justification for why Rabbi Yochanan rounded all the way to 18 rather than to 17, because in fact, 17, taka, mathematically, wouldn't be enough. In fact, actually, the Tashbetz has in his Trubis, where somebody asked him along those lines, and the Tashbetz said it's a nice pshetel, but I can't accept that that's the meaning in the Gemara. The reason why he's rounding is because of the Gemara saying over here he wants to go a little bit l'chumra, and he's rounding to the nearest whole number. And in general, the halacha is we don't have to worry about the actual, mathematical figures like Rabbi Avraham ben Abchia is saying. We're allowed, Lahalacha, to use the figures 3 and 1.4 and whatever, even where those result in a kula, as they would in this case, where we would say that 16.8 is enough, even though mathematically it's more like 17.8. So that would be how it is. Now, Lahalacha nowadays, by the way, so we have the actual halacha is a sukkah only has to be 7 by 7 tefachim. So you have in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions the same concept. So we don't have to have, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a circumference of 24 amos, but we do have to have, we still have to use the same formulas, using the same formulas as we have in the Gemara over here. We come out that such a sukkah would have to have a circumference of 29.4 tefachim. 6 tefachim to an amma, so you're talking about a circumference of slightly less than 5 ammas. Again, if you were to use the actual mathematical figures, it would come out more. It would come out, you'd have to have over 31 for the circumference. But again, this is what we're saying. Like the Tashbitz is saying, you don't need to worry about that. You're allowed to use the Chachamim allowed you to use the smaller figures, even though mathematically it doesn't work out. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Rabbanan de Kesari, the Chachamim of Kesari, of Caesarea in Eretz Yisrael, Va'amila Dayani de Kesari, or others say it wasn't the Rabbanan who sit mostly and learn in the Beis Medrash, but rather the Dayanim, the ones who are passing in practical halacha, they gave Amri, they say a formula that we can use that to explain in a different way what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. So they say, Igula de Nafik mi goiri bua riva. When you start out with a square and then you draw a circle inside it, like the first diagram on our Amud, then Riva, you've subtracted 1/4 of the area of the square. Like we said before, in other words, if you have a square, for example, 4x4, which is an area of 16, and you draw a circle inside it, the area of the circle is going to be a little more than 12. So therefore, you've subtracted 1/4, 4 out of 16, of the area of the square. And then they continue. Ribua denofik migoigula palga. On the other hand, when you have a circle and then you draw a square inside it, then you're taking out half of the area of the circle. So therefore, in other words, it would come out that which means, in other words, 1/3 of the original amount. So therefore, if we follow that formula, then it follows, therefore, that if we want the inner square to be 16 by 16, then the circle around it is going to have a circumference of 24. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is basing himself on to say that you need 24. Not like we just said that he's talking about the people sitting outside the sukkah. We can say he was talking about the people sitting inside the sukkah, but he was using the formula of the Rabbanan of Kesari. However, the Gemara says, Veloihi, but it's not so. That's not correct. We see it's not that much. When you draw a square inside a circle, You're not losing a half or a third of the area. You're losing a much smaller fraction than that. Tosfos has a couple of problems with Rashi's answer. One of them being that first we're talking about relative to the outside square, and then we're talking about relative to the inside square, rather than we should be consistent and say we're talking about relative to the outside square and relative to the inner circle. So Tosfos explains that apparently what the Dayani de Kesari understood, that the diagonal of a square is not 1.4, or a little bit more than 1.4. Like we said before, they actually apparently understand that the diagonal is equal to the length of the side. So equal to, and then therefore you have to calculate accordingly. But Tosfos says in that case, I mean, how could they make such an obvious mistake? You don't even have to measure. You look at the diagonal of a square relative to the two sides of it, and you can see the diagonal is much shorter. So therefore, Tosfos explains, and various other Rishonim and Achronim explain in slightly different ways, that what the Dayani de Kesari meant is not necessarily what the Gemara understands them to have been saying. What they were saying is that if you draw an outer square and then you draw within it an inner square, the area of the inner square is going to be half of the area of the outer square, which mathematically is correct. And again, Tosfos gives the same diagram as they did on Amud Aleph in order to illustrate that point. The Gemara then misunderstood and thought that they are talking about the area of the inner square relative to the circle, and therefore saying that can't possibly be correct. But in fact, the Dayani de Kesari were not talking about that at all. They were talking about just the area of the inner square relative to the area of the outer square. So in other words, teaching what they're saying that way, it would come out the circle within the inner square loses 25% of the area, which is approximately correct. And then the inner square loses half of the area, not relative to the circle, but relative to the outer square. So according to that, then, when the Gemara is saying Veloihi, in fact, the Ritva says maybe that Veloihi doesn't even belong in the Gemara. Maybe it was added by the Rabbanan Sevaroi. In other words, what would happen is the Rabbanan Sevaroi possibly misunderstood what the Dayani de Kesari was saying, and therefore said it can't be. But in fact, mathematically, it would work out if we understand them correctly. There is, by the way, a whole different explanation. So far, what we've been saying is Rabbi Yochanan, when he mentions his 24 people, is talking about the circumference of the sukkah. And therefore, we're saying that you have the people sitting outside the sukkah and you measure from there. There is actually an explanation that a number of the Rishonim suggest that maybe furthermore, maybe the stamma de Gemara was furthermore misunderstanding not just Dayane de Kesri, but Rabbi Yochanan's original statement that when he said the sukkah has to have a hekif of 24, im yesh be'ek keifa, k'dei leishe b'chav dalad me'adam, maybe it actually didn't mean that you have a circumference of 24, maybe it meant an area of 24 square amas. And that would work out mathematically, because a circle, we said before that in order to fit a square of 4x4 amas, the circle has to have a diameter of 5.6, which is the diagonal of the square. 5.6, a circle of a diameter 5.6 has an area of 24 square tefachim approximately, because you put around it a square of 5.6 by 5.6. The area of such a square is 32. The circle, we said, is about 3/4 of the area of the square around it, and 24 is 3/4 of 32. So therefore, that would work out mathematically as well. So that could be another way of understanding Rabbi Yochanan, that he wasn't talking about the circumference at all, but rather the area. Next case, the Gemara says, "Amar Levi Mishum Rav Meir, Shtei Sukkos Shoyotzrim Zu Lefnim Mizu." If you have two, potters in those days used to have as follows: people who are making pottery, they would make for themselves two sukkos, one next to the other. The inner one would be where they live. Now, not necessarily would they live there all the time. They had a house, but they would live there short term, here and there, for a few days here or there. Or some of the Rishonim say the vort is rather that they would work inside there. They'd make their pots in there, and sometimes they'd go to sleep there. Sometimes they'd sleep there overnight while they're making their pots. The outer one would be where he makes his pots, and that's where he takes them out to sell. So you have shtei sukkos shoyotzrim zu lefnim mizu. You have these two sukkahs, one inside of the other. You have to pass through the outer one to get to the inner one. Hapnimis ena sukkah. The inner one is not considered a sukkah. And the reason is, Rashi says, because it's true, we're going to have in the next Mishnah that Beis Hillel is going to say, and the halacha is like them, that you don't have to build the sukkah for the sake of the Yom Tov of sukkahs, but it has to be that it's something that you don't live in the rest of the year. Like this, the potter lives in this inner sukkah the rest of the year, so it's not really noticeable that he's living in there, the shem sukkah. So it's not a valid sukkah, but chayev es b'mezuzah, and it would be chayev in a mezuzah the whole year round, because that's where he regularly lives. V'achitzona sukkah, p'turim in a mezuzah, the outer one he can use as a sukkah, because he doesn't regularly live in there, and that one is potter from mezuzah throughout the year. Because not considered a dira, because you go in and out of there, and people come in there to buy his pots, but he's not actually using it as a place to live in. So therefore, during sukkahs, he moves into that outer one, and that would be considered a valid sukkah. So you want to ask about my why? Why should that be? Why is the outer one potter from mezuzah? To have a chitzona kabeit shar apnimis with this chayiv mezuzah, why shouldn't we consider the outer one like a base shar, like a gatehouse to go into the inner one? Because you have to pass through it to get to the inner one. With this chayiv mezuzah, and since the inner one is chayiv and mezuzah, so should the outer one. The same way as when you have a base shar for a house, then not only the house is chayiv, but also the base shar. And the answer is Mishum Deloi Kviya. The answer is because neither of them really has a Kviyos. So therefore, the inner one is not important enough to be considered to have a base shire. Tosfos actually points out that you have a Gemara in Yuma that says that a base shire is potter from mezuzah. So Tosfos gives two answers. First, they say maybe it's a difference what the base shire leads into. If it leads into a house, it's chayev. If it leads, let's say, into a garden or a front yard or something, then it would be potter. On the other hand, Tosfos has a problem with that explanation and says a different answer. We're talking Daraisa or Dirabanan. Daraisa, a base shire, would be potter. Dirabanan, it's chayev. And we're saying over here, because the inner sukkah doesn't even really have a kavios of its own, because it's only something that he puts up temporarily and then moves around from one place to another. Therefore, it can't be considered important enough to have a base shire. Before, when we said, by the way, when we had the list of Tanoim, that we said that all hold that Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan, and one of them was Acherim, which usually means Reb Meir. So we're saying over here that the outer one is Potter from Mezuzah. So Tosfos learns over there at the bottom of Zion Amud Beis that if we say Reb Meir holds the sukkah needs to be diras keva, then in fact Reb Meir might hold that the outer sukkah over here, the outer sukkah sayotzrim, would in fact require a mezuzah, the same way as Reb Yehuda holds in the Gemara in Yuma that a regular sukkah that a person puts up on sukkahs is chayiv in a mezuzah, again for the same reason of diras keva, so Reb Meir might hold the same way. On the other hand, different Rishonim talk about maybe not necessarily. Okay. Tonenabon. Ganvach. The sukkahs that the acronym of them is the word ganvach, and they are sukkas goyim, a sukkah that was built by goyim, where they made it, let's say they're not making it for the mitzvah, obviously, they made it, let's say, just because they want to sit underneath it during in the shade of it during the summer. Sukkas noshim, or sukkah that was built by women who are not chayiv in sukkah. Sukkas behema, or a sukkah that was made for animals to be in, for to have shade for them, or there's even a different explanation. And it means a sukkah that was made by animals. Let's say an animal needed a place for itself to have shade, and it threw together some branches and things. Or sukkas kusim, or a sukkah that was built by kusim, where the kusim, famously, we know they're the goyim that Sancheirav imported into Eretz Yisrael after we took the 10 shvatim into Golos. And you have, there's a throughout Shas, there's a machoikas, whether they were geire emes or geire arayas, did they become geirim only out of fear of lions that were attacking them, or did they become sincere geirim? And so there's a machoikas throughout Shas, whether they're chayiv in mitzvahs or not. Eventually the Gemara says they discovered them worshipping Avodah Zarah, and then they declared them goyim gmurim. But here we're talking about during the time when there was a suffix about them. So we're going according to the opinion that Tosfos says, evidently we're talking according to the opinion that they're geirei arayos. So they're not actually chayiv in a sukkah. So in that sense, they're like goyim. So any of these four, sukkah mikol makom, or any other sukkah that was made, even that's less good than these. Nevertheless, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, Shera, nevertheless, all these sukkahs are kosher, even though all of them, all of the four that we mentioned, have a drawback that they were made by or for people who are potter from sukkah, or in the case of the one with the animal, maybe even it was made by an animal. Nevertheless, they're kosher, and even sukkahs that are less important than that are also kosher. As long as it has proper schach. Now, Rashi explains, we don't mean obviously, so the Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean? Obviously, if it means that it has to have the halachas of schach, that the material has to be correct and it has to be tzilosa, merubah, mechamasa, there's no chiddush in that. So my kilchasa, what are we adding by this mesuchachas kilchasa? Rav Chista, who shasal the tzel. Rav Chista says it means that he made it for shade. In other words, for example, you can't have, let's say, that the sach was put on there, just Rashi says, let's say just for privacy. That wouldn't be considered a valid sukkah. It's true, the sukkah doesn't have to be built for l'shem mitzvah sukkah, but it does have to be built l'shem tzel. It has to be made for shade rather than for some other purpose. Different other Rishonim talk about different other angles on it. It means, for example, that it can't have been built, let's say, we're going to have an example later in the perek about where you put it, where you put the sach on there in order to dry it out. You could have, for example, that the schach was put on there, let's say, in order to store things inside it or whatever. So all those things, it wouldn't be kosher. It would have to be the schach was placed on there, l'shem tzel. The Alter Rebbe, in fact, writes in Shulchan Aruch that if the schach was placed on there, l'shem dira, then it's in order to dwell in there, then it's also no good. That's what we were just saying about the sukkah hayotzrim, about the potter's inner sukkah, where he put schach on it, and it is kosher schach. However, he didn't put it on there, l'shem sukkah, he put it on there, l'shem dira, because he lives in there for a period of time. And therefore, we're saying that it's not kosher, and therefore, for sukkahs, he needs to move to the outer one. So the same thing over here, as long as the goy or the woman or whoever put up the schach on their l'shem tzel for the sake of shade, then it's kosher. As opposed to, for example, if they put it up for privacy or to have a storage space for things or whatever. Okay. So v'husha asol, let's say sukkah, as long as he made it for the shade of a sukkah. So not necessarily for the mitzvah, but at least for the purpose of shade. Okay, so we said in the Braisa that you have four things, and then we said sukkah mikol makom kshera. So sukkah mikol makom lasuyamai. What does the word sukkah mikol makom come to include? What other kind of sukkahs are there that are of a lesser caliber than these four? And the Braisa is saying that they're still kosher. So there is lasuyas sukkahs rakbash. That comes to include the four sukkahs that the acronym of them is the word rakbash. The Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in another Braisa, sukkahs rakbash. And they are sukkas royim, a sukkah that was put up by shepherds, where while they're shepherding the sheep or whatever, they put up a temporary hut for themselves to stay inside, or sukkas kayotzim, or a sukkah that was made by people who are drying fruit during the summer, so you have to have somebody guarding the fruit so people don't walk off with it, so you build the sukkah for that purpose, or sukkas bugonin, a sukkah that was built by city watchmen, where they build it outside the city in order to guard the city, and sukkas shomer peiros, a sukkah that was made by people who are guarding fruit that's growing, let's say. Now, in all of these cases, the royim or the kayatzim or whatever are Jews, but they didn't make the sukkah to begin with. So here the drawback is, yes, they were Jews who made it, but they didn't make it for the sake of Yom Tov. They just made it stand. So nevertheless, the Braisa is saying that all of those, sukkah mikol makom, or even a sukkah of a lesser caliber, kshera, is kosher. Again, uvad shem is schachas kiochasa, as long as the schach was placed on it properly. And again, my kiochasa amar avchistav urshasol letzel sukkah. Means that it was placed as if it was placed there for the sake of shade, rather than, as we said before, for privacy or to store things inside it or whatever. So the same thing. In other words, so the first Braisa is listing ganvach, and then it's saying that the other four, rakbash, are included under the term sukkah mikol makom, a sukkah of any kind, even if it's a lesser caliber. And the second braisa, so sukkah mikol makom lasu yamai, in the second braisa, what's the word sukkah mikol makom coming to include? And the answer is lasu yasukkas ganvach. It comes to include the four ganvach sukkas that we said before. So, in other words, you have two braises that are coming, both braises, in other words, agree that all eight sukkahs are kosher, but they're coming at it from a different perspective. The first braise is coming from the perspective that the ganvach sukkahs are better, the rakvash sukkahs are worse, and nevertheless, we're still saying even the rakvash ones are kosher, even as long as the schach was placed on there for shade. And the other braise is doing the other way around. The other braise assumes that rakvash is better. There's less of a chiddush that rakvash is kosher. There's more of a chiddush that ganvach is kosher. And he's saying nevertheless, even those are kosher. So the Gemara explains. Hi Tana de Ganvach, Alimele Ganvach, the Tana of the first Braisa holds that the Ganvach sukkahs are stronger and there's more reason to say that they're kosher and therefore less of a chiddush in that, Mishum de Kvi. Because after all, the sukkah made by goyim or women or whatever has more of a kvius to it. They didn't just put it up for a day or two at a time. The Katonim, Makom Makom, Lasu Yirak Bash, to like Kvi. So therefore, he says, now also those sukkah, mikol makom, even the sukkah made by royim, kayotzim, etc., which is so temporary, they usually only put it up for a day or two at a time, nevertheless, also that one is fine. V'hai tana de rakbash, alimele rakbash, where the tana of the second braisa says the other way around. Rakbash is better, dibnei chiyuvaninu, because after all, the royim and kayotzim and so forth are Jews who are chayiv in the mitzvah of sukkah. Fine, they didn't put it up, l'shem sukkah, but you don't have to, as this Hillel is going to tell us in the next Mishnah. So he adds sukkah mikol makom to include also the sukkahs that were made by goyim and women and so forth. Even though they're not chayev in sukkah, he's saying nevertheless the schach was placed on them for the sake of shade, and therefore that's good enough for us, and you can consider those valid sukkahs. So in other words, in short, all eight sukkahs are kosher according to both Tanoim. But they're just arguing which one is there a greater chiddush, which group is there a greater chiddush in, and which group is there a lesser chiddush in. The ones that are there permanently but were made by people or even animals that are not chayev, or the ones that were made by people who are chayev in sukkah but were only made there for temporary. They're made for a day or two at a time. There's an interesting sefer from David Pardo, one of the great Sfardish Rabbanim of a couple hundred years ago. He has a bunch of Sfarim that have David in their titles. One of them is called Lamnatseach LaDavid, which is Chidushim of his on Shas. In the back of it, he goes through all of the simonim in Shas and explains on a deeper level what all of them mean. So over here, he talks about our Ganvach and Rakbash over here. And he says, ganvach is malashin ganav, as if you have, like you're making like a lesser quality sukkah over here, and you're not able to be, you're maybe not able to bring down the full effect, milamayla, of a sukkah, but you're able to, so to speak, steal some of that hashpah and bring it into your sukkah as well. Therefore, ganvach. And then, on the other hand, on Shabbos, you have everything goes to a higher level. Therefore, you have more ability to access that Kedusha. Therefore, the second group is Rak Bash, which stands for Rak B'Shabbos. Only on Shabbos do you have that you're able to get a greater level of Ashpa, even though you're sitting in such a low quality sukkah. Okay. Let's continue again. We want to be able to get today's daf was Zayin, but again, we want to get a little ahead of ourselves so that we have it in the bag before Tisha B'Av. So the next Mishnah says, Sukkah Yeshana, an old sukkah, which, as the Mishnah is going to go on to explain, means a sukkah that was built more than 30 days before Sukkot, without specifying that it was for Sukkot. Bes Shammai poistin of Hillel machshirin. Bes Shammai says it's posel. Bes Hillel says it's kosher. Bes Shammai, in other words, says that the sukkah has to be built l'shma, and Bes Hillel disagrees. So if it's built within 30 days of Sukkot, Rashi says, even Bes Shammai is going to agree that it's fine, because during 30 days is the time when you're sholin v'doshin, you're asking and you're discussing halachas of sukkahs. So therefore, already when you build a sukkah during that time, we assume you're making it for sukkahs. But more than 30 days before, not necessarily. The Sillel says it's kosher because they don't care about that. The Ezer is sukkah yeshana. What is considered a sukkah yeshana? Kol sha'asa, kodim l'chag, shloshim yom, if he made it more than 30 days before sukkahs. Aval imasa l'shem chag, but if he made it for the sake of yomdiv, afilam etchilas hashana ksheira, even if he made it at the beginning of the year, then it's going to be kosher. Now, the beginning of the year obviously doesn't mean the beginning of this year, because that's within 15 days before Sukkot. We mean even the beginning of last year. So even if you put it up last year, Rosh Hashanah, and now he wants to use it this year, Sukkot, then we're saying because he made it having in mind for Sukkot, then even Beis Shammai would be fine with it. Tosfos actually brings over here, that brings from the Yerushalmi, that you would actually have to take off at least a little bit of the schach and replace it, either a tefach by a tefach or al pnei kula along one entire edge of the sukkah. And that's actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, that even though we're saying that a sukkah yeshana is kosher, still tzarech lachadish badabur, you still, as Tosfos is bringing over here, you have to do something new to it, put on new schach, take off some of the schach and replace it, whatever. So the Gemara says, my time at the Beis Shammai, why does Beis Shammai say that a sukkah yeshana is posel, unless you did it for the sake of sukkahs? So Omar Kuro, because they say, because the posel says, chag ha-sukkahs shivas yomim l'ashem, that means sukkah ha-sui l'shem chag b'inan. You have to have a sukkah that's made for the purpose of sukkahs. Or Beis Hillel, what would Beis Hillel answer to that? They say, ahumim boile l'chidur sheshes. No, we're not going to learn from that you need the sukkah to be made l'shem chag. We need that to teach us what Rav Sheshes says. The Amr of Sheshes mishum Rav Akiva, minayin la'atze sukkah sha'asurin kol shiva. How do we know that the wood of the sukkah, the walls of the sukkah, the schach, is also bahana? You're not allowed to, let's say the sukkah falls down, for example, we'll talk later in the Masechta. You're not allowed to use those anytime during sukkahs, throughout the whole 7 days of sukkahs. Not Talmud Lama, chaga sukkahs, shivas yomim l'Hashem. Therefore, the Pasuk says, chaga sukkahs, 7 days for Hashem, implying that throughout those 7 days, the material is reserved for Hashem, and you can't use it. V'tanya, and we learn in a braiser, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserayim, k'shem shechal shem shemayim al chagiga, just as the name of Hashem applies to the chagiga, when you designate a korban for chagiga, then of course shem shemayim is chal on them, and you can't have hanah from them until after the imurim are burnt on the mizbeach. Kach chal shem shemayim al sukkah, the same way, the shem shemayim goes on the sukkah, and the same way, you're not allowed to use the wood and the material of the sukkah. Shenema chag ha-sukkah, shiva siyam la-shem. So we learn, in other words, chag means a chagiga, ma chag la-shem, af sukkah la-shem. So just like the chag belongs to Hashem, so does the sukkah. So if not for that, Tosfos says, then we would say that it means it has to be the shem chag, like what Shama is saying. But since we're saying chag ha-sukkahs, then it means, in other words, that it has to be that the sukkah has to be similar to the chagiga in that it's reserved for Hashem throughout the 7 days, and you can't use it for anything else. Tosfos discusses over here, is this iser actually d'oraisa or d'rabbanon? Tosfos distinguishes between, maybe it's also d'oraisa, when the sukkah is standing, then, for example, you're not allowed to break off a piece of it and use it. But let's say the sukkah fell down during sukkahs, then the fact that you're not allowed to use the material of it throughout the rest of sukkahs is only d'rabbanon. So, ubis shamai nami boile l'hochi, and what about bis shamai? Don't they need Don't they need this? Don't they need this pasuk for that derasha? So how do they have it? Because they also agree that the material of the sukkah is also for use throughout the 7 days. So how are they learning that the sukkah has to be made l'shem sukkah? So the answer is Eino Chanami. You're right. Ela my time now to Beis Shammai. So why does Beis Shammai say the sukkah has to be built l'shem sukkah? Because k'siv k'rachrina. Because you have a different pasuk. It says chagas sukkahs tasa l'choshivas yamin. You should make for yourself a chagas sukkahs for 7 days. Which means, and again, so it's again, it says chagas sukkahs. You have two different sukkahs that say chag sukkahs. So from that one, we learn sukkah asui l'shem chag b'enim. So you need a sukkah that was made for the chag. Now, what does Beis Hillel answer to that? They say, yeah, no, there's something else we're learning from that. The fact that you're allowed to build a sukkah even during Chol HaMoed. If you didn't make a sukkah before sukkahs, means, in other words, that you can make a sukkah during the chag. Meanwhile, Beis Shammai holds like Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer was, in fact, a Talmud of Beis Shammai. And Rebbe Eliezer holds later on in the Masechta that you're not allowed to build a sukkah during Chol HaMoed. According to him, you have to have a sukkah that's usable for the entire 7 days of sukkahs. So therefore, so that's where we stand right now. So it comes out like this. According to Beis Shammai, you have to build a sukkah before sukkahs. You can't build it during Chol HaMoed. Therefore, they have a pasuk available to teach us, the second pasuk, Chag HaSukkahs, to teach us that it has to be built l'shem mitzvah sukkah. Beis Hillel says no, the two pasukim, and then the second one they learn from that the material of the sukkah is also to use. Beis Hillel says no, the first one teaches us that you are allowed to build a sukkah during Chol HaMoed, and the second one teaches us that the wood and material of the sukkah is also, and there's no pasuk to tell us that it has to be built l'shma, and therefore they say it doesn't have to be built l'shma, which is why they say a sukkah yishana is kosher. Okay, that's to be continued tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Shkeach.
Everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good day.